The Lance Wallnau Show is coming at you live from the master himself, with a special broadcast taken from one of Lance's most recent appearances. Tune in and get ready for some major revelation.
See, a church like this has the challenge of having an atmosphere that is prophetic in nature, and it's pioneering apostolically, taking ground. So my burden for you on a prophetic weekend is to give you a blueprint for why you're doing what you're doing and where you're going. Because if you could see your face in a, let's put it this way, if I give you a puzzle with like 1,000 pieces, and I show you the whole complex picture, it's easy then for you to deal with, this is a tree and this is a mountain. Because you see the picture over here, you start to really move fast. If you don't know what the finished product looks like, it gets very confusing. But the finished product for us in America is much different than we've been taught, because most of our theology is shaped around a couple of narratives that says that the spiritual is what's important, the natural is not important. And because the spiritual is important, the eternal is obviously more important than the temporal, and the sacred is more important than the secular, and the Antichrist is coming, the rapture is going to happen, there's an end time harvest. So all your energy gets focused on this idea of not occupying any territory. Everything's going to go to the devil. You're doing a rear guard action for while you're working here, trying to get as many people saved as possible, and any day you're out of here. That's the predominant theological worldview that the West has. And that's why we're losing. Because we've already accepted the fact that we lose. So what are you doing? Why are you even investing in campuses? So why are you, what are you doing? You're putting all this energy into doing this. And because in your spirit, God's telling you, this is what you're called to do. I want to give you the complex, the box, the puzzle box picture real quick. So in God's chaos code, what I start with is this. I was actually very happy preaching and doing my own thing with Seven Mountains, and I pioneered a message. I had a consulting company. I do convergence coaching. I like helping leaders get into the assignment that they've got. But something happened. I got a call from Rick Joyner to tell me to go to a meeting in Florida where there was a billionaire that wanted to talk to me as a friend of his. And I go fly down to this meeting, and it's in a garage with metal chairs and a rickety, whiteboard. And I'm looking at this thing, and the billionaire never showed up. So I'm down there with like 100 people, and I'm preaching away, because everywhere I go, I just give 100% because I never know who's there. And I give 100%, and I do my little Seven Mountain thing, and I'm on the flight home, and the devil is like sitting next to me saying, "What a loser. What are you doing with your life? You got friends that are doing TBN. They got huge ministries, mega churches. So what are you flying around talking to garages with metal chairs to having a divine appointment that doesn't show up?" And I was like beating myself up thinking, I got to get my act together. But I'm praying in tongues. I start praying in tongues even more because I'm a big believer that when you're praying in an unknown tongue, it's designed like a prayer. It's going to be answered. And I'm praying into the mystery of what God's calling me to do, because I'm pioneering off the map. Everybody is in Toronto in a revival. Heidi Baker and Bill Johnson, these are all my friends. And God's, I'm in the revival, and I'm saying, this isn't it. This is good. This is temporary. There's seven mountains. We've got to watch out for media. Media mountain is going to be taken over. It's going to be a vast deceptive thing. Watch out for academia. Look at the education system. It's going to be taken over, making acolytes for hell. Watch the government. We're not involved with government enough. We need to watch the laws, the Supreme Court. I'm off on seven mountains. Everyone else is in revival, and there's a move of God, and it's all going to get fixed with some kind of a pixie dust anointing. I don't know, but it didn't happen that way. And I'm loving it. I'm in the revival, but I'm kind of like a weirdo because I'm outside of it. I go to these meetings. Now, I come back, and my secretary calls me, and she goes, "You're going to fire me." I go, "Why would I fire you?" She said, "Well, 2 weeks ago, you got a call to go meet with Donald Trump at Trump Towers, and I didn't know it. Somehow, I didn't play the answering machine properly." And so I said, "Well, when's the meeting?" She said, "You and Kim Clement are supposed to be meeting him tomorrow." So tomorrow. So I call Kim. Kim goes, "Yes, indeed, I'm invited to this meeting. It's a group of select evangelical leaders who are going to meet with Donald Trump. He's running for president. He feels like he needs to meet with Christian leaders before he does this." So I fly up. It's the next day. So it's like I just barely missed this thing. And I fly up to this meeting, and I'm sitting there. And this meeting up at Trump Towers is there. Kim doesn't show up because Kim at this point had a stroke, and this is it. I'm now there without my prophet friend. And I'm sitting there going, where's Kim? And now I have to figure out for myself, what's God doing? So I'm there now. And Trump is talking with us about what his plans are, what he's doing. To make a long story short, there's these eruptions happening, disruptions in his rallies. He's being called a racist and a hate speech guy. And he goes, I'm not. He goes, anybody that knows me, he goes, my gosh. He said, this is absurd. I have all these accusations. I don't understand why there is all this battle and this racial tension and all these accusations coming. I'm a business guy from New York. I just want to fix this thing. Like he's, it's really funny. He had a Freudian slip. He said, instead of make America great again, he said, I just want to make my company great again. And I said, well, God's probably calling a CEO to go fix this business because we're going out of business. So anyway, so we had this meeting and everything's flying around. And the Lord gave me a word for Trump, but I didn't plan on telling it to him. I told it to Daryl Scott, who was one of his friends there. And I said, I think the Lord's telling me that Donald Trump is on Isaiah 45. I heard the Lord say the next president of the United States will be an Isaiah 45 president. That came into my ear like that. And I thought, this is really weird. I'm hearing God like Kim Clement used to hear God. So I'm saying, the next president will be an Isaiah 45 president. And I tell Daryl, and I said to him, I think this guy actually could be president. You know why? I looked up Isaiah 45, and it's about a guy named Cyrus. Cyrus was a ruler who wasn't a Jew who God raised up for the sake of the Jews. I think God's not raising up a Christian we're praying in. I think he's got an anointed heathen he's putting in office. I said, he'll probably end up becoming a Christian. I said, but the church isn't ready for this because they already have their favorite Christian evangelical candidate. And they got Mike Huckabee or Ben Carson or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio. Oh, you line them all up. Every one of them has a great story. They know how to talk to Christians and evangelicals. They have compelling testimonies. Donald Trump comes along and is all thumbs. Can't do it. The Bible says, Isaiah 45, thus says the Lord to Cyrus, whom I've anointed, though you do not know me, I have raised you up to go into Babylon, the two lead gates of Babylon, to break it apart. And I am doing this for my people, Israel's sake. Well, I give Trump the word. I said, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm telling you, you're walking around with your mother's Bible and you're talking to us like, you know, you're trying to build. The truth of the matter is we know you're not actually an evangelical Christian, but we don't mind. We love the effort you're putting into building a bridge. We think it's great. But listen, the only reason why you're succeeding so historically, in spite of the way that you tend to say things that assassinate yourself and you still recover. I said, you're like George Washington. He gets all these horses shot out from under him. You're indestructible as long as you're walking in the purpose for which you were created. So he came up to me afterward and he said, you know, I want you to know that what you said. And I was thinking, it's so funny when you talk to people that aren't Christians, they don't have Christianese down. Because we would say, you know, that really ministered to me. That really blessed me. That bore witness with me. Really. He looks at me and goes, you know, that word you just gave me there, that really, I'm trying to coach it in. He doesn't speak Christianese. Puts his hand down here, he goes, it meant a lot. I said, that's the secular language, that meant a lot. All right, so I get back to after I prophesy over him, it's a weird room, it's tense, it's filled with all this racial tension, economic tension, spiritual Trump Towers. And I'm thinking, man, this is a long way from the Shire with the hobbits I hang out with. So I said to the Lord, what am I doing here? Literally under my breath, this is so alien to everything I've experienced in life. This is weird. And the Lord says to me, every time you pray in tongues, you tell me this is what you want to do. Which is why I want all, that's why I have Breaking Controlling Spirits as one of these products here. You need to get it. Every time you pray, see, I told you, after my weird meeting with the billionaire that didn't show up, I started praying in tongues more and saying, what am I doing with my life? Lord, I know that I'm exploring a map of the future, and I know the church isn't all there right now, but at least I need some evidence that I'm not off. So here's what happens. When I get to that meeting, the meeting I leave Trump Towers, but what I didn't tell you is this. When I got there, I'm looking around. I see there's Kenneth Copeland, there's Jan Crouch, there's Paula White, there's Jensen Franklin. Every mega church pastor is going to make one of those trips up there. and all the TV preachers are going to be there. And me, I'm kind of like hidden away. I'm like the ninja sheep. I function. I'm in government. I'm in foreign governments. I'm in corporate headquarters. I'm with entertainers. It's better for me not to be too public sometimes, because when they find out what I do, when my name gets out there, they freak out, because I'm actually in their houses. You know, I mean, I'm where the strong man is. So I get there, and I'm looking at all these celebrity preachers that are well-known. And I go up to the doorman, who's got a clipboard. And I said, "Is that a curiosity? Is my name on there?" I just want to make sure that I'm not accidentally showing up and like the guy, you know, without the wedding garment in the Bible gets kicked out, you know? So it's like, I don't think I'm in this group here. And he stands there, he goes, "Yeah, you're in the group." He goes, "You know why you're in the group? Because I put you in the group. I'm the guy that organized the meeting." I said, "Well, how do you know me?" He said, "Well, I was at this garage meeting in Florida." He goes, "Some weird thing, all those metal chairs and a whiteboard, and you're up there, and God tells me you have to meet Donald Trump." He says, "So then when I heard about this meeting that came to me, I said, I know the one guy who's supposed to be there." So that's how I got involved. But at that moment, think about how you go through this battle. When it doesn't make sense when you're going through it, and God has no obligation to explain to you, "By the way, you're not going to meet a billionaire. You're going to meet someone else going to set you up with Donald Trump. Don't worry about it." You have to go by faith and just say, "All I'm doing is obeying." You know, I wrote a book and I talked about Haggai the prophet talking about God is going to shake all the nations, including economic systems. And then just recently I got challenged by a verse that says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." And I began to think, you know what? I'd hate to find out there was a promise and a warning here on silver and gold, and I never even thought about it. And that's the reason why I want you guys to do something right now. You want to get a 20-page special report on silver and gold. Go to lancewalnut.com/birch, because Birch Gold is one organization that is being used by a lot of very credible people right now in order to position themselves with silver and with gold. You need to now start to look into this and learn what it is that maybe God was trying to say, that the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Go to lancewalnut.com/birch and find out for yourself. But here's what happens. The prophets Jeremiah and the prophets Isaiah, they prophesied about Babylon coming. The church of that day was going to go into Babylon. And there was a prophecy that God was going to raise up Osiris. And so I'm at a meeting at Focus on the Family headquarters. It was very odd. And it was a Lou Engel event, which was unusual too that I was there, because Lou's always passionate about revival, and I'm more Reformation. My frustration is the church is always passionate about singing about revival. The problem is everybody wants revival because that's our party. It's like signs, wonders, Jesus, angels, feathers falling down, hallelujah, church growth, finances. It's a pastor's dream to have revival. Souls coming left and right, powerful expansion. Reformation, on the other hand, it's like if you know your Bible, there's Rachel, who Jacob loved Rachel. She was the voluptuous woman that he wanted to marry, and she had a somewhat less attractive sister named Leah. And what we find out is he gets married, works 7 years for the voluptuous beauty Rachel. He gets into the tent on his wedding night. He wakes up the next morning, and who's in bed with him? It's Leah, not Rachel. And he's upset. He's going, "What happened?" And his father-in-law says, "Well, listen, you know, she's the firstborn. We have it's inappropriate for you to be marrying the secondborn. So work another 7 years, and you'll get Rachel." So he works another 7 years for Rachel. Now he has Rachel, and he has Leah. But here's the point. When it comes to his legacy, it wasn't Rachel, the beautiful thing that he wanted, that was his real fruitfulness. Judah, who would become the ultimate messianic line, came through Leah. The priesthood, Levi, came through Leah. The tribal system came through Reuben and Simeon. To see God, to hear God, to be joined with God, and to rule with God came through the unattractive sister of his passion. Which means you have an idea what you want, but God knows your ultimate fruitfulness may not be the thing that you really want. It's what you don't want that he's going to give you the fruit in. And I'm telling you, revival is Rachel. Reformation is Leah. She may not be attractive, but that's where the fruit's going to be. So when we talked in the first service about the seven mountains, there's these seven world kingdoms, the religion and family, education and government and media and arts, and then business over here, the economics. I challenge you, if you study these seven verticals, these seven institutions, they are the powers that actually shape the minds of nations. So when you look at a country like the United States, you look at who took over the top, the gates of influence in education. Who are the woke corporations that Larry Fink and BlackRock are now pressuring into woke agendas on Wall Street? Who took over the production, the banking system in Hollywood? Who has actually taken over the media in New York, the five companies that own 90% of the fake news media? Who's operating behind the election thefts or the ballot productions or the software inside of the government? You take a look at all those areas, and what you're going to see is this. These gates of influence have been occupied by devils only because the church doesn't show up. So the gates of influence are actually where the gates of hell congregate, because all hell is interested in doing is taking authority over the minds of the masses. Wow. Satan's job is to go forth as a deceiver. That's a mental game. He does it through fake news, education, false religion, government legislating and normalizing what is contrary to God's teaching. All of those mind molders of culture, those seven institutional high places, just like the high places of the Old Testament, that's where the false priests, the false religion, and the false prophets congregate in the secular world. So they occupy, should it be any wonder, now just catch this with me. If revival is for the religion mountain, I'm all for revival, because what is revival? It's passionately being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, who would be against that? That's prerequisite for living on planet. But it's designed so that we go ye into all of these areas. Now think about this. Think about this soberly. I will build my church. The popular word there that we suddenly become infatuated with is ecclesia or ecclesia. Ecclesia means the government of God that is in a handful of people that represent the interests of God. So Jesus says, I will build my church, or I will build my ecclesia. When he's saying this, he's borrowing a word that already existed. Fascinating. He did not choose a word in Hebrew idiom like synagogue or temple. Surely a rabbi would say, I will build my synagogue, I will build my temple. He chooses a word from Greek culture used by Alexander the Great that had to do with a group of legislative people in a city that had the power to establish rules for that neighborhood. I will build my own legislative authority in the earth, and the gates of hell will not be able to stop it. Now unpack it. Because religious spirits have confined us to revival, antichrist, rapture, and end time harvest thinking, we block ourselves off here in the religion mountain, furiously doing what we can to get the gospel out there and avoiding all of these controversial territories. Meanwhile, Jesus says, go ye into all the world. Why? Because these gates at the top of your city shall not prevail against my church. I will build my church, my governing ecclesia, and the authorities of hell that occupy those high places will not be able to outpower you. Now, that was actually the promise of Jesus. So when I look at that and I go, well, I put these steps here for a reason. When I was with Lou Engel at that meeting, and he really was going to go political, he wanted to go in revival, and I didn't want to go political, but I'm saying we've got to get involved with this Trump thing. Well, we don't want to get into politics. So I break out my theory of the case before the election, and I wrote a book on it for this reason. I said, I believe the prophets have been prophesying America is going to be saved. There's going to be a great outpouring and a great harvest. They're prophesying something's coming in America. I think just as the parallel in the Old Testament, Jeremiah and Isaiah prophesied as prophets about what was coming. I believe our prophets and intercessors are crying out to God for a move, And I'm even doing this as I'm doing this, like Lou Engel does. And they're crying out. And as they're praying, I believe God is giving us an unlikely candidate. He will be an offense to the religious spirit. Three times divorced. That'll go over great with the Baptists. But what is God saying? He's saying, you want a nice knight in shining armor that appeals to your Christian sensibilities when you're not doing the job? I will send to you a rough soldier. I will offend the religious spirit. I will give you a Samson whose embarrassing history with Philistine babes will be broadcast. But he will slay Philistines. And so I started talking about Cyrus Trump, Isaiah 45. The one guy that wasn't a Christian was the guy God was going to choose because God is not as religious as we are. So what happens after Cyrus? Cyrus comes along, and then they have a bad ruler. Oh, this is fascinating. The Bible is so meticulously accurate. The next chapter is you have a ruler that comes along that actually is against Israel. And, well, what do the Jews do? God sends Cyrus, and he gives Cyrus, puts him in order, in office for the purpose of God's people building God's house. Now, you got to catch this, because there's a code embedded in Scripture that pretty much will shock you when you see how it foretells what's happening. But because it's not what we theologically are talking about, we miss it. Here's the history of Israel. The prophets prophesy and the intercessors pray. God sends a deliverer. The deliverer is there. And while the deliverer is there, it's for the purpose of the Jews taking the territory they never took before to build God's house, or in San Diego, houses. And it's going to be this guy named Zerubbabel, and it's going to be a guy by the name of Joshua. This guy is going to be the priest. This guy is going to be the governor. Basically, it's going to be a partnership of the church and the seven mountains together to build a house that penetrates all of culture. And out of that is going to come a guy named Nehemiah working with Ezra, another governor working with another priest, another seven mountain partnership. And their job is to build walls and restore the gates. Wow. What are the walls? The collapsed walls of culture, where we don't know the difference between a man and a woman, a socialist and a capitalist, between a marriage of a man and a heterosexual marriage or another marriage. And you're out here in California. I know I can't talk about those things, but this is the extent to which the walls of definition and the boundaries of culture have so collapsed that there's no definitive definition anymore. And when you bring forth one, you're guilty of blasphemy. Because it's a false religion is merged with government. So I have 200,000 followers on YouTube. Taken from me overnight by some woke person who decided that I offended their belief system by committing the ultimate sacrilege of blasphemy. I said something that offended a censor in YouTube and lost 250,000 people. Thank God I'm not building a business off of that, but what is cancel culture? It's basically the excommunication of the culture against anyone who's not bowing to the new belief system.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.
When I was in an island with Annabelle for a vacation, we couldn't get Netflix, we couldn't get Amazon, we were really stuck. Loved the island. Then I found out about ExpressVPN with 94 countries with high-speed connections. And I realized that with one click, I could actually get access to servers and stuff outside of the limitation of where I was. But then I also discovered something. When you're going online, you're being exposed. We're finding out stories all the time about people being doxxed. I mean, it's a political agenda to find out personal information about you and expose it. But whether you're shopping or whether you're just connecting at a cafe or whether you're at the office, if you want to protect your identity, what you're doing, the websites you go to, the conversations you have, whether it's on a phone, a tablet, a computer, or just through a router, no matter where you are, you can expand the number of options you've got for what you get access to, and you could totally insulate and protect yourself with online privacy, security, and the best state-of-the-art encryption services. It's all through expressvpn.com/Lance. You go there and you're going to get 30, 60, or 90 days worth of free training. I guess it's a money-back guarantee and a trial. But I'm talking about lightning quick connectivity, multiple locations, the ability to go to all kinds of sites, regardless of the limitation of the local government or the local place. 160 locations in 94 countries, and all of it secure. No one can track you. That's what I love about ultra fast, totally secure, global VPN. So go to, once again, expressvpn.com/Lance. Do what I do. Do what my staff does, do what my friends do, and protect your privacy and expand your reach.